This is a TalkStation original podcast.
As many of you were probably equally surprised as I to discover that suddenly there's a problem in the southern border, something that none of us expected. As a matter of fact, based on the director of the Homeland Security, Secretary Mayorkas, we were not going to have any problems in the southern border. As a matter of fact, there was no crisis in the southern border. We've been told that for 3 years now. All of a sudden, the president announced today that he may, if executive orders are allowed, actually put down further restrictions on any efforts by illegals to enter via the southern border. We'll have joining us this afternoon Brandon Judd. He is the president of the National Border Control Council and himself a border. You are yourself a member of the Border Patrol, are you not, Brandon?
I was a Border Patrol agent for 25 years. I recently retired last year, but I still remain the president of the council.
Were you equally surprised to discover there was a problem at the southern border?
I was surprised 3 years ago to see how much it shot up. Look, we knew it was going to get bad. We knew that. Biden campaigned on getting rid of Trump's executive orders. He campaigned that he was going to be what he called humane, and he's been anything but humane, and the deaths show that. But we were just surprised that there wasn't going to be a ceiling, and there is no ceiling to illegal immigration. We thought for sure that once we started apprehending 2,000 to 3,000 illegal aliens per day, we thought for sure he would do something, and he didn't. I mean, it got as bad as we were apprehending 12,000 per day in the month of December. So the only thing that I'm surprised at is that there was just no ceiling before he decided to do something. Now, we found that there is something that he is worried about, and that's politics. He's worried about his power. And so now he's talking about potentially coming out and doing something. I don't think that he will. And the reason I don't think that he will is because if he does something, he's going to prove himself a liar. He's been saying for the last 2 years that he can't do anything by executive order. Karine Jean-Pierre has been saying, well, he's done everything that he can. There's nothing more that he can do. So if he comes out and he does something now, he's going to prove that he was a liar. And so I think that he's backed himself into a corner to where he's in a no-win situation. If he does something, he's going to show that he could have done this 3 years ago. If he doesn't do anything, illegal immigration is going to continue to explode. The drugs are going to continue to flow across our borders, and the U.S. citizens are going to continue to die. So he's put himself in a really, really tight spot.
Today, he even acknowledged that he was thinking about pursuing an executive order. That alone was what shocked me. I agree with your observation and your concern about the fact that he has been dishonest. There's no question about it. But I was stunned that he would even go forward with even a semblance of a concept. And I thought it was really interesting, and I'm trying to I am unfortunately paraphrasing his remark. He said, if the executive orders will, if I can possibly through executive order or something to the effect of if I'm allowed through executive orders to do anything with the situation in the southern border. One of the arguments that's been said for quite some time is just direct Secretary Mayorkas to do his job. Is there not already existing restrictions and if you will, legislation that gives the Homeland Security to do whatever is necessary?
Absolutely. The power already exists. But what you just said is the reason is further evidence of why I believe he's not going to do anything. He says if he can do something, it's already been shown by the courts. Remember, the Supreme Court upheld Remain in Mexico. The Supreme Court said that executive order by President Trump was in fact legal. So right there, he already has the blueprint. So he's laying down cover for himself. He's saying, well, I can't do it. If I could do it, I would do it, but I can't do it. And that's the cover that he's laying down for himself. But you're right. Secretary Mayorkas right now today, in conjunction with the DOJ, what they could do is they could search immigration judges to the border. We search Border Patrol agents to different locations every single day, if it's necessary. So they could do the same thing with immigration judges. They could surge them to the border. You could shut down their dockets, what their current docket is right now, and deal with last in, first out. And what that means is you take the last person that comes in today and you put them through their court proceedings immediately and you deport them. And if they were to do that, they would stop the flow today. That isn't even an executive order. That is just using the authorities that they currently have in conjunction with the DOJ, DHS and DOJ working together. There are an awful lot of things that they can do under their current authorities that they refuse to do not even talking about executive orders. But if we even want to go to executive orders, there's a great many things that they could do as well. They could challenge. You know, Secretary Marcus issued a rule about a year and a half ago that got shut down in the Ninth Circuit. They didn't challenge it. They didn't ask the Supreme Court for emergency review. So we constantly see that he likes to get up and in front of the cameras and he likes to say, well, I would do it if I could, but I can't, so I won't. And he's just trying to deflect from his failures.
Yeah, and I'm fully expecting him saying that, my other thought is that he will announce that he is going to be, he's been forced to use his executive order, which he doesn't want to do, although he's done a lot of executive orders here just recently, none other than most recently Monday, on the topic of yet again another effort to relieve students of their debt responsibilities. But that's another story. The point is he's going to accuse the House and the Republicans, the conservatives in Congress, of having stymied any effort to staunch the flow of illegals, as to your point, which could have been done without any additional activity or executive orders for that matter, or for that matter, maintaining the executive orders that already existed. We're talking with Brandon Judd. He is a Border Patrol, well, now a retired Border Patrol agent, and he is the president of the National Border Patrol Council, representing 17,000 Border Patrol agents. And I want to then move to that topic here with you, if I could, Brandon. What is it that you understand is the feeling of the Border Patrol agents? How are they standing up under this constant barrage of accusations and this tiresome effort to somehow control the border, which, by the way, just recently, good example, the agents, and this was in Texas, and I'm not sure if it was Border Patrol agents or if it was Texas law enforcement, were overwhelmed by a flood of illegals who just crashed the gate. So what is the morale, the mood there of the patrol agents?
We're absolutely demoralized every single time, and I realize that I don't put on a uniform anymore, but I still go out with our agents all the time. I'm still on the border all the time, but every single time we put on that uniform, we expect to be able to go out and protect the American people. We expect to be able to go after the cartels. We expect to be able to stop the drugs from flowing in. We expect to be able to ensure that people on the terrorist watch list aren't coming in. We expect to be able to stop what we call the gotaways, and every single day we're experiencing 1,000 people are entering this country illegally that we don't even apprehend. So we don't even take them into custody. We don't know who they are, where they're coming from, what their intentions are here in the United States. And then on top of it, of course, the number of people that we're releasing. Lakin Riley was not killed by somebody who snuck into this country. Lakin Riley was killed by somebody that Biden let in under the asylum process. You know, and so we look at that every single time we take somebody into custody, we know that they're going to get released. We don't feel like the Border Patrol anymore. We feel like the Welcome Patrol. We feel like we're furthering the crime that exists. So we're absolutely demoralized. The only thing that gives us hope is that President Trump is going to get elected in November. Because if that happens, we know that a change is going to come. We know that his policies work. We lived that. We were there. We saw everything that he was able to do on the border, and that's what gives us hope. That's what gives us the courage to continue to put that uniform out, go out and try to do the best that we possibly can, even though we have a president in the White House who does not care anything about U.S. citizens. He only cares about his own political power.
You know, the other aspect, though, I would also argue on your behalf, Brandon, and that is, I don't think that all the members of Congress are as respectful and concerned about the border agents as well. A good example, of course, is the criticisms that were levied against border agents and associated with illegals trying to cross the border, and then the agents were accused of whipping them, which, of course, was proven not to be the case, but did not get, shall we say, appropriate correction either from Congress or from the media. The role of the media in all of this, what is their role, and what is the impact of the coverage they've provided so far?
So we don't care who it is. We don't care if it's MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, Newsmax. We don't care. All we want to do is have an honest conversation. We want to be able to discuss with the American people exactly what is going on. Unfortunately, we know that MSNBC isn't going to have that discussion. I mean, just a couple days ago, they had a congresswoman on talking about that horse patrol incident, and that congresswoman was saying that we were whipping them, even though that has been proven over and over and over again that it was false. MSNBC did not correct that narrative, and they know that it's false, but they wouldn't correct it. So what we want is we want an honest conversation. You know, the reason that we have, the whole purpose behind the free, the media being able to go out and talk, right, free speech, so on and so forth, it is in order to keep the government in control, to keep it in check. Yet now we have outlets like MSNBC that all they are is the mouthpieces for the White House. And as long as we don't have that on, if we can't have that honest conversation, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. What I care about is that you have enough information to make an educated assessment of the situation. And the way we see our media today, you can't do that. You cannot make an informed assessment based upon the information that they're giving, because they constantly cover that information up.
Well, or they write a new narrative. And you know, you mentioned a few moments ago the issue of drugs that are coming across the border. I am in the news business and opined actually a year ago, that the amount of fentanyl that is crossing the border should be disclosed or described as a weapon of mass destruction. I think there was a story, there was a story I read a month or so ago, and I think it was California in general, but it may have just been San Diego. They had recovered enough fentanyl to destroy the earth to earth two times over, the total population of the earth two times over. But yet we are not seeing the stories of the threat that this is posing, not only the illegals, but the continual flow of drugs coming across the border. But we don't see any of that in the media anymore. Is that disturbing to you?
It is. Every single weapon of mass destruction that has ever been used, whether we go back to, bombing of Hiroshima, right, we can go back. Every single weapon of mass destruction has not killed as many people throughout the entire world as what fentanyl has. All you have to do is look at here in the United States. We are having at least 80,000 people per year die of fentanyl poisoning every single year. So, of course, it should be classified as a weapon of mass destruction. But if they classified it as that, they would then have to do something
about it.
They would then have to put politics behind them and actually go after the cartels. And if they were to go after the cartels, then, of course, they're going to upset their base. And if they upset their base, they're too concerned that they're going to lose an election. That's the problem that we have with our politics today. Our politics is not about what's best for this country. Our politics is what's best for their next election. That's what we see constantly in Congress. And unfortunately, we see it. Oh, I shouldn't say unfortunately. It's just a fact. We see that a lot more with the Democrats. And that's why, again, I go back and I look at the whole reason that we supported President Trump all the way back in 2015. And the reason why we supported him is because he wasn't that typical politician. Right. He came from a business background. He came from the background of building something, making our economy great through business that he was able to develop and create. And when you have those minds in, when you don't have the typical politician in, you're going to be able to get a lot more done. And all we see, I mean, look at Biden. What job has he ever had in his life, minus being a United States Senator, Vice President, and President now? That's all he's ever known. All he's ever known is the power of politics. And he holds on to that, you know, with the tightest grasp that he possibly can. And it's disgusting, and it doesn't serve the American people.
So in conclusion, and I want to go back to our opening remarks a few moments ago. We're, of course, talking with Brandon Judd here, a former Border Patrol agent and still the president of the National Border Patrol Council. And again, I want to mention, representing over 17,000 Border Patrol agents. And so he speaks with portfolio, as they say. He does speak for the organization and his own experience. You do not at this point anticipate anything legitimate or real. I shouldn't say legitimate.
No.
Anything real happening with the president's announcement today that he is considering, isn't that wonderful? Considering an executive order to tighten down on the border? You do not expect anything.
I don't, and I'm basing that off of what he said. He said, if I could do something, I would do something. He knows that he can't. He's already seen that. He's already seen the laws. He knows that there's things that he could do right now. He refuses to do it. So I think that he's just going to come back and say, look, I tried. I looked, and there's just nothing I can do. He's just going to continue to reflect. If he does it, I'm going to go right back to what I said. If he does something, it's going to prove that he was a liar, and it's going to prove that this crisis was, in fact, his fault.
Our guest this afternoon, and I thank him for taking the time to be with us. It's been a pretty busy day for him since the announcement came earlier this morning about the president's proposed decision of an executive order, which, as Brandon has just shared with us, is probably not going to happen. Brandon Judd, again, the president of the National Border Patrol Council. And with that, Brandon, thank you very much for two things. One, for taking the time to be with us, but two, more importantly, and most importantly, for making an effort to protect our country. Thank you for your service.
It was great to be with you, and thank you for getting the message out. Honest conversation.
Our pleasure.